Praise God. See, is that Marie over there? That's Marie. She used to sit in my congregation back about 40 years ago. Visiting from Tennessee or somewhere, is it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. She's one of the ladies, when we first started this church that met, she's one of the five or six ladies that met with us. And so if you haven't said hi to Marie and her husband, make sure you get over there and say hi to them afterwards. And she visits us from time to time. And it's good to have her in the service this morning. Praise God. Too bad Arlene's not here. Arlene's in Africa. So, yeah. Yeah. All right. What a beautiful day God's given us. And I was thinking about some things that concerning decisions that people make and the effect it has on their life. And recently there was a highly prominent individual that died. You've heard about it in the news and how the world was changed in a profound way because of the accomplishments of this man, his vision that he had. And, you know, we all have to think about this from time to time. Young people don't really think about that much. They figure I've got all the time in the world. You know, I once thought that, and somehow time has crept up on me, and it's almost passing me by. Eventually it will. It's amazing how that happens. And things that we think are so far off. I used to wonder how people, when they were older, would talk about time going by so quickly. I never really understood that. You don't understand that until you get there. You really don't. You don't understand that concept of time quickly passing until you get at that point in life when you think back and say, how did I get, where did it all go? Where did it all go? I mean, so the young, I don't begin to think that the young will ever grasp that, but you will. And when you're young, we tell young people sometimes to heed wise advice, and you know they rarely do because they think they have all the time in the world. It's rare that you find a young person who is wise. Why you say, why do they always associate wisdom with gray hairs or no hair or whatever, you know? The reason is because there's a basic principle involved here, and that you really don't understand some things until you get at a point in life when you can grasp it all, and when you have a basis upon which you can base your analysis. You see, you have to have a certain amount of data, so to speak, speaking to this technological age. You have to have a certain amount of data before you can rightly assess a situation. And that's the way it is about life. I want to speak on this subject this morning, life lessons. Life lessons. And it may turn into a series, I'm not sure yet. But I was thinking about this when we have prominent people who pass on and they talk about their accomplishments or whatever, and they're in the news for a while, and then there comes a point where you hardly ever hear about them again. Sometimes their name will appear in an encyclopedia or a dictionary or something, but, you know, then they're gone. You see, time passes us all. It goes on. And we don't understand the importance of the day in which we live. Life lessons. It's so important that you learn the lessons now. And if you're a young person, the person who is wise will listen to what the older generation says and will listen to the advice that is given, because it's not in most cases. Now, you know, if you're listening to somebody who's ruined his life, I wouldn't listen to that person. But most folks who have lived life honestly and done their best, they have some things to share. And I was drawn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is titled, in the Hebrew, it's Koheleth, and in the Septuagint, it's we get the word Ecclesiastes from the Septuagint name for this book, Ecclesiastes. And it's the writings of, believed to be Solomon. And there's several reasons for that that you get from the book itself. He describes himself as the king's son and also reigning as king. And it's a fascinating book. The book of Ecclesiastes is that kind of book that you have to understand the context of it. And there may be some statements in here that are not maybe the best to follow because they're the ruminations, they're the thoughts of a man who is looking back on his life and assessing things. And so you get various ideas that are coming to mind. He's penning them down. The word itself, Ecclesiastes, has to do with something that is spoken, say, publicly or verbally to someone else. And it's believed that it's quite possible Solomon, in late in life, was gathering, maybe to younger individuals, he was giving this advice to younger people. And I think they would have listened because Solomon is described as the wisest of all men who have ever lived. So it's important to glean some things from what he wrote. I want to ask that question. What have you learned about life thus far? Some of you younger people in here. It'd be interesting if I were to ask you, write down everything you've learned about life. I wonder how long your book would be. As you get older, that book should get bigger. The kinds of things you've learned. What have you learned about life? What have your observations and experiences taught you? What have they taught you? Have you discovered yet what it's all about? Some people never discover what it's all about. Have you discovered what it's all about? You see, we learn from others, parents, friends, teachers, heroes, mentors. And I would ask, how have these people in your life shaped your understanding of what it's all about? Who are the people in your life that you look to for not just advice, but you really value what they have to say? Oftentimes, an individual will find himself or herself in a situation that's difficult because they listened to the wrong person, they took the wrong advice. They placed value upon what someone said, but that individual was wrong, grossly wrong. But because they valued that individual, maybe their relationship with that person, and they based their life on what they heard, unfortunately, it led down a wrong path. You see, it's really important when you stop and think about it. The kinds of people in your life, and all of us, you see, we all have this kind of relationship. All of us have individuals in our lives that have affected us. Parents, friends, teachers, heroes, mentors, all those people that have in some way had input. And that's why it's so important, by the way, and I would say this to young people, when you're considering where you're going to go to school, just don't look at that school as being more prestigious than another. That's the way some young people, they all want to get into the Ivy League schools, or they all want to get into the big university. You need to be very careful, because I guarantee what's going to happen is this. Wherever you go to school, your teachers and mentors that you come across there will have a profound influence on the way you think when you come out of that school. You need to ask yourself the question, first of all, where does God want me to go to school? Where does God want me? And you ought to give thought to some good Christian colleges and universities where you can go and at least be in an atmosphere that is not blatantly hostile to your faith. One of the problems we have today is that young people are coming out of colleges and universities, and they're surrounded by people who 24/7 are trying to influence them to go down a path that is directly contrary to what the Bible says we ought to do. And if they take a stand for their faith, they're ridiculed. They're placed in a small minority of those kooks that are on the campus that are religious. And that's an uncomfortable position to be in. And there are scores, hundreds, even thousands of Christian young people who go off to college thinking they're all kinds of good thoughts about the education they're going to get. And they don't realize that over the course of time, the 2, 3, or 4 years that they spend at a college or more, they are stripped of their faith. And in its place is a theology of humanism. It's not even a theology. It's a humanistic approach to life. And they come out being cynical and skeptical towards the things of God. Kids that are raised in a Christian environment. You would do well, hear me this morning, you would do well to consider where God wants you to be. And you would do well to consider a Christian college, university, where at least, it doesn't mean they're perfect, doesn't mean that everybody there is going to be born again Christians, but at least you'll be in an environment that will encourage you in your walk with God, or at least there are avenues there, and they won't look down on you. Now, I say all that to illustrate the importance of influence that we have in life and trying to figure it all out. What is life all about? And trying to figure it out, we're looking to the wisest of all men. I'm going to read, usually I preach and teach from the New American Standard Bible because it's so literal. But I want to this morning quote this scripture from the NIV. And if you have the NIV translation, then you'll be able to read right along. Because in the NIV, usually what we read is this in the NIV. New American Standard Version, or the King James. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But I want to take that word because we don't usually use the word vanity in the way it's being used here, even though that's the way it's translated. I want to use another word for this, and the NIV brings it out pretty good. So you'll understand what he's saying. Now remember, this is Solomon. He's the wisest man who's ever lived. He's up in age. And he's looking back on his life, and this is the way the book begins. I wonder how many people, if they knew exactly what this was saying, would continue reading after he says this. Because this is the way, this is what he's saying. He's saying, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. Well, joy, joy, tell me more, you know. I'm all ears. You'd close the cover of that book and say, wait a minute, I don't want to read that. What a message. Meaningless, meaningless. All is meaningless. Meaningless. It doesn't make sense. If you've never read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you ought to do it. The wisest of all men, he pens his thoughts. And he passes them on to succeeding generations so that they may learn something valuable that he learned. And it took him a lifetime. This is the thing. He grew up in the palace, the king's son. He had all the glory, everything life could offer. I mean, the glory of Solomon. We talk about it. And he comes up with this conclusion. First of all, without God, life is meaningless. Need to go preach that down in some of the cities of our country right now where they're all demonstrating for some cause. They think their cause is the most important. Somebody ought to get up in a soapbox and say, meaningless! That comes from the wisest of all men. All this stuff that you're concerned about, it is meaningless. I don't know if you'd convince him or not. Without God, life is meaningless. That's the main theme of the whole book, and he takes these chapters to bring this message to you. Solomon wrote about life, basically. And there are three books that we attribute to his authorship. The first, Song of Solomon's. And this is, some surmise this, we can't prove it definitely, but Some surmise that the Song of Solomon was written in his youth. It was written in his youth. And some surmise that Proverbs, not all of it, there were some other Proverbs, but most of the Proverbs was written by Solomon, and that was written during his middle years of reign. And then, of course, Ecclesiastes was written during the last years of his life. So there's three books that he's written, and you could read through those, and you can kind of get a good picture of what made him tick and what he really thought. And you'll see that there's some changes there. The things he emphasizes in one book are not emphasized necessarily in another, and he emphasized different things. You see, as you move through life, that's what happens. Your perspective changes. And with a change of perspective, you know how it is. Some of you younger ones here, before you got married, you had a certain idea about marriage, right? And then after a few months, you know, things started changing a little bit. Then after 1 or 2 years, reality starts to set in. Maybe after 5 years or so. There was a study about, you know, you've heard of the 7-year itch. I read something not too long ago, and they said, you know, there is something that goes on. They figure that in a marriage, they're talking about a marriage, that couples that seem to get along well together, about the 7th year, and they were trying to analyze why that is. And they said, actually, there is a phenomenon that somewhere in that period of time, that's when oftentimes a lot of issues come up, and some relationships, unfortunately, don't last. But they say it has to do with human nature. It has to do with the dynamics of relationships and how they progress. You see, there's a different perspective in the 7th, 8th year, 9th year, 10th year than there is in the 3-month period of time being married, right? Different perspective. It's all about perspective. That's the way it is. That's the way life is. You get to understand things as you move along in life. That's why you say, usually it's the older folks that we go to for wisdom. Well, it's because of their perspective. They've lived long enough, experienced enough, that they look back and what they have to say has a little more weight than what somebody fresh out of college has to say. See, that whole idea of perspective. Life is meaningless. He wrote these books, and I wonder this morning, have you ever wanted it all? That is, everything life has to offer? Has that been your desire? I want it all. Some would say that. In this book, in his life, as you study the life of Solomon, we witness the spiritual decline of a man who had it all. That's the sad commentary on Solomon. There are some great things about Solomon. There are some great periods in his life, but the sad commentary is that here's a man who had it all. There was a high pitch in his life when he was serving God with a passion. And then we see over the passage of time several things enter in, such as idolatry, self-indulgence, extravagance, and excess. He had it all. Power, wealth, honor, fame, sensual pleasure. He had it all. It led to a decline in his life personally. And it all ended up with this. The guy who knew it all, was the wisest, was the greatest in his day. There was no one like Solomon. They said there was nothing like the splendor of Solomon. That word splendor has to do with a lot of earthly things, physically. The gold, the silver, all that he had, his possessions. All of the cattle he had, the horses, all of his possessions. There was nothing like the splendor of Solomon. And it all ended up with a sense of futility, disillusionment, emptiness, where he declares, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Now, if you're smart, you'll take notice of that. If you're a wise person or want to be wise, you'll look at his life, the one who is esteemed to be the wisest of all men, and look at his life and what cycles he went through and what he experienced and the conclusion he came to, and you'll learn something from that if you're smart. If you're smart. Meaningless. Everything's meaningless. He had words of advice for the young, and I just want to this morning read this for you. If you want to follow, I'm going to read from the New American Standard Translation. And Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, he did have some words of encouragement or advice for the young. So you might want to take note of this if you consider yourself young, and I'm not going to determine who that is this morning. If you fall into that category, that's something you decide, okay? Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, and notice in the middle of that chapter, verse 7 and following, I'm going to read this. The light is pleasant, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. He's saying enjoy it while you can, and remember the days of darkness, because they're going to come. Verse 9, rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. He says, okay, you're young. How many have heard that? Well, he's young, he's sowing his wild oats and all that. You know, enjoy life while you're young. Yeah, that's okay. You can do that while you're young. When you get older, sometimes the body breaks down and gets a little weaker, and you can't enjoy the way you were enjoying when you were younger. And Solomon then brings this word. He says, remember that God will bring you into judgment for all these things, so beware. Beware. You can party your life away if you want, but beware. God's coming. His judgment is coming. He's coming your way. And then he goes on to say, so remove vexation from your heart. And put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. How true that is, right, folks? The prime of life are fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, beginning with the first verse in chapter 12. Before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim, and the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. What a very mournful, sad picture. And then in verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity, or meaningless, meaningless. All is meaningless. You know, if you stop and think about it, people who wish that they could have it all, live the good life, experience it all that stuff, Solomon is one who did. If you want to know what happens, look at the life of Solomon, because he's the one who had it all, lived it all, had all the fame, had all of that, and look at the conclusion he came to. And in a way, his life prepared, it was preparatory to the coming of the Christ. You know, in the New Testament, you don't find his name mentioned that often, but you do find it in this instance. In Matthew 12, you find Solomon mentioned. It's in a prophecy. They were asking Christ, and the teachers and others were there, and you know, they always tried to ask him trick questions and things, and what's going to happen and all this, and trying to get wisdom, quote-unquote, from Christ. Some were sincere and some were insincere. But in Matthew's 12th chapter, he gives a prophecy of the Queen of the South rising up at the judgment. He said, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And then this phrase, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. All those words of advice that Solomon gave throughout his lifetime. And then with that almost pessimistic view, I guess you could describe that, look at life that you find in Ecclesiastes, and then the reference to him. Someone greater than Solomon. Something greater than Solomon is here. Jesus spoke of himself and his kingdom. You want to know what life is all about, then you get plugged into the kingdom of God. The world has a life of Solomon to look to as the epitome of fame and riches and honor and glory in this life. And it'll end in nothing but disillusionment. Unless you have aspired to and you have sought after the kind of life that the one who is greater than Solomon gives. The life of Christ plugs into life which normally would be meaningless. All that it has to offer, all that it can give, all of a sudden, in the midst of what would be meaningless at the end of time in one's life, it can be meaningful if you have the life of Christ interjected. He makes a difference. Something greater than Solomon. It's the life of Jesus. Those who would seek after the riches and the wealth of this world and all this world has to offer, they will be disillusioned eventually. But if they come to know Christ as Savior, and if they dedicate their life to him, and if they live a life pleasing to God in the wisdom that Christ has given us and in the life that he's given us through the cross, then at the end of their time, their life, instead of looking back and say, it's all meaningless. We've heard the report from many saints down through the ages. When it comes near that time of their home going, instead of saying, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I fear death. You hear, oh, I want to go home to be with Jesus. The seal. The seal of perfection. The seal of God that is placed on the life that is based on the Word of God. Based on the teachings of our Savior. Based on what God has provided. One greater than Solomon has come. There's something better than what he sought after in this life. The better thing is Jesus. It's Jesus. Life lessons. Best lesson you can start out with in life is to learn that at the very beginning, it's really all about Jesus. Some think it's all about riches and fame, prominence, success. Learn from the life of Solomon. It's all about Jesus. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Somebody here today perhaps would say, preacher, I've kind of gotten off center. I've been focusing on some of the wrong things. Some of my goals, some of my aspirations, some of my considerations. I've left God out of the picture. Oh, I've known the Lord and I serve him, but I've really not considered his will for me and everything. There are a few things I've just gone after on my own. I thought that's really what I needed, what I wanted, and I thought that would satisfy, but this morning I feel God is telling me something. I need to, with a passion, seek him and his purpose for my life. And today, that's what I really want more than anything. I don't want to come to the end of my life and look back and say so much of it was meaningless and vanity. I want to look back and say, Jesus was there every step of the way, and that's what has made my life meaningful and worthwhile. And today I want to let the Lord know, God, I hear what you're saying, and I will purpose from this day forward to do my very best to not live for self, but to live for you in all my decisions. I shall learn from the wisest who has ever lived and walked this earth. I shall learn from what he says. I shall learn. And today I make that decision. God will be first in all things in my life. If that's you, let God know it by lifting your hand. That's right. Just lift it up. Christians, I know you're Christians. It's not for salvation. It's for a commitment you're making today. God is speaking to your heart. Lord laid this message on my heart for a reason. I believe it's because of you. God wants you to hear what he wants to say. And now I'm going to pray. Jesus, Lord, you see the hands that have been raised today. It evidently was the message for the moment and the hour. And you want to steer us back to the things that really matter in life. We get so dissuaded at times. We get turned aside to things that really don't matter. And this morning, God, you're turning us back. You're saying there are some things that are eternal. They have stood the test of time, and they will stand the test of eternity. And this morning, Lord, I just pray for those who are making that decision in their personal lives. May they choose what the will of God is. May they seek after your will, and may they know that as they study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's way is always the best way. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's always the best way. And I think as little as I know, I need to heed wise words when they are given. When God speaks to my heart, I want to hear and I want to do. When he speaks to me through his word, that's what I want to do. I want to be the way God wants me to be. I want to be the man of God God wants you to be. And you ought to desire that in your life too. Be the person God wants you to be. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what's going to happen? He shall direct your paths. What a promise. In all your ways, acknowledge him. If Solomon had just done that, his life story might have been different. He learned some hard lessons. It was only late in life that he came full circle all the way around. And he comes to the conclusion. You can read it near the end of that book, what conclusion he came to. It's right there. It's very succinct, to the point. Wise words. Oh, some of you are going to go home and read Ecclesiastes this afternoon. I know it. Going to get some of that wisdom from the wisest of all men. It'll do you good. Remember, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll show you how to live. He'll give you the right decisions you need to make to be a success in life. All right, would you stand with me? Praise God. Praise the Lord. What a day. What a great day to serve the Lord. Let's look forward to the opportunities God has. I believe God has in mind someone for you to witness to this very week. God's going to bring someone across your path. Some searching soul. Oh, it might appear that they have a certain need, but they have a greater need than what they're sharing with you. They have a heart need. They need a Savior. And you know just where to point them. You have the answer. So I'm going to pray that God will make you a witness this week. Share your faith with somebody. Lead them to the light. There's no greater thrill in life than showing someone the way to eternal life. What a thrill. What a thrill. That can be yours this very week as you share your faith. Remember the services tonight, and And I've been thinking about some things that we can share. And there are some folk here that really don't know a lot about how the Bible is put together, what it's all about. I'm going to share some life lessons. We started with it this morning, life lessons. The Word of God, we're going to move through, and I'll explain some things to you. We'll take questions you might have about some of the books of the Bible, why they were written, some of the personalities, things like that. It'll be a good time of discussion. It won't be just a lecture. So if you want to be plugged into that, you come tonight, 6 o'clock, and we'll have some testimonies, and we'll have some sharing time, and we're going to talk about God's Word, and I believe that you're going to gain some more wisdom from it. All right? So that's tonight at 6, and the kids will get together and have their time too. So let's look to the Lord in a word of benediction. Father, we thank you for your grace today. We thank you for your mercy. Blessed be the name of the Lord God, our healer. Thank you, Lord, for the service this morning and touching lives. I believe healings took place in this place. Healings took place because of your mercy. You're the God who heals. Thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that as we are dismissed now, may we go with your divine grace. May we live our lives knowing that they can count for something. Our life can matter. Our life can make a difference. And so I pray, Lord, that we will live in the light that you've given to us. We'll walk in the light of Jesus. May your blessing be upon this congregation as they leave. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day.
So I praise you, Lord, for giving me